And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to put a recap on UCF spring practice as they held their annual spring game last Friday night at the Bounce House. This guy does a great job covering the team for the Orlando Sentinel. He's my good friend, Matt Mershell. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. I could not attend the spring game. I can't find any video footage of the game. So you're going to have to give me insight. What happened Friday?
Well, you know, listen, I'm going to say it was a spring game lightly because it was more of a scrimmage, you know. I mean, basically, UCF had two 12-minute quarters in the first half where they, you know, where they went out there and they performed and for the fans. And then the second half was kind of a skills challenge and then an opportunity for, you know, like a fan fest almost, where fans were able to kind of go on the field and meet players and things like that. So scrimmage is kind of a in parentheses in my mind, you know what I mean? But, you know, fans did get an opportunity to see KJ Jefferson, you know, the Arkansas transfer quarterback who came in the offseason, got a chance to see him throw a couple touchdowns. They got to see a couple fresh faces out there. You look at the offense, you know, I mean, RJ Harvey did not play, you know, Kobe Hudson did not play, you know, I mean, just, you know, it was a lot of backups, guys who really maybe were getting opportunities to maybe make their case to the coaching staff before they moved on, you know, to the off season and the summer. But, you know, you got to see the defense step up a little bit. They had, you know, they had 9 sacks in the game. You know, the linebackers looked really good, and we saw some of those guys step up as well. And you got guys like Xavier Townsend, who I think fans are familiar with. He had over 100 yards in the game. You know, the top leading rusher was Timmy McClain, the backup quarterback, you know, to KJ Jefferson. So, all in all, you know, it was a 20-3 win by the Knots, and, you know, just an opportunity for some of the guys to get out there, showcase himself and her fans to get a chance to look at him.
You bring up the quarterback. What do you like about KJ Jefferson is probably the starter this fall?
Well, he's kind of a different body build than what we saw from John Rhys Plumlee. You know, KJ is more of a 6'3", 250 pounds. Every guy that we spoke with this summer or this spring has basically said he's unbelievable. He's tall, he's big, he's tough to bring down. He loves to be in the pocket and really kind of, you know, has got a strong arm, gets the ball down the field. He can run if he needs to be. Although, you know, KJ told us several times, you know, he doesn't want to be known as a running quarterback. He wants to be known as a passing quarterback. So, you know, I think they'll try to utilize his abilities, you know, in the offense that Gus Malzahn is going to call. You know, he's going to probably run a lot at times when they need to, but most of the time they want him to throw the ball down the field. You know, I think he's a guy who's got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of experience. This is his fifth year. He obviously has played, you know, in an offense in the SEC at Arkansas, has done a lot of good things. And I think he comes in there and gives Gus Malzahn and the offense an experienced player to really kind of make a seamless transition from John Rhys Plumlee.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head the last time a quarterback started every single game for UCF. And it's okay if you don't have the correct answer. Maybe 2017, maybe, with Mackenzie Milton, when I really think about it. That's my thing of, there hasn't been stability where they've had to use multiple quarterbacks. That's my number one concern. Can this guy, can KJ Jefferson, can he start every game? Because I think that'll be very vital for the success of this team, Matt.
Yeah, I think he can. Like I said, he's got size, and, you know, and I think that's going to be something that's going to benefit him a little bit. But I agree with you. I mean, I think if you're UCF, you know, you've got your starting quarterback, but you also have to look around and say, okay, we need to make sure we've got someone who can come in a backup role. You know, Timmy McClain was John Rhys Plumlee's backup last year, stepped in obviously when Plumlee went down with an injury, played a few games, has lots of ability, you know, can throw the ball deep, can scramble, really has some good speed scrambling. They've also got some other guys. Dylan Risk was a guy that they brought in last year as a true freshman. You know, he's kind of excelled a little bit. He's a guy that probably more than likely will be the third string quarterback going in there. They've got a guy in Ricky Trejo who they brought in as a true freshman. They feel like he's had some opportunities over spring. You know, he's a guy that's going to be on the roster as well. But it all comes down to KJ Jefferson. You know, he's got to remain healthy. They've got to be able to have him be at the top form if they're going to have a chance to win more games in the Big 12 this year.
I know you've talked to him over the last couple of weeks and months. why do you feel like he picked UCF? Because he could have gone anywhere. Especially he was a quarterback multiple years in the SEC. Why do you think he went to the bounce house?
Well, I think the reason he picked UCF was a couple things. I think one, you know, he loved, you know, kind of what the, you know, what UCF has done over the last couple of years. You know, I think he saw obviously the trajectory the program has been under. But honestly, a lot of what he chose was because of Gus Malzahn. You know, KJ has growing up was really kind of one of the, his kind of football heroes was Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And he talked to me about how he had Cam Newton videos on his phone. If you look at his YouTube history, it's a lot of Cam Newton videos, you know, and he followed what Cam Newton did on the field and off the field, what he did, you know, in the workouts. He's got a lot of workout videos of what Cam Newton was doing. And they're very similar builds, you know, body-wise. And so, you know, when he got Gus Malzahn one-on-one, he said, listen, you know, I want to know exactly what you did with Cam, and I kind of want to follow that, you know, kind of plan, you know, that, and eventually that's what happened. You know, Gus said, listen, we can help you. We can get you to that point. And so that's really the reason I think that KJ wanted to come to UCF. I think he feels like he can elevate his game to get to that next level. He wants to be able to, you know, to obviously have success and feels like this is a place where he can do that, you know, and I agree. You know, you look at the Big 12 and you look at the opportunities next year, there's going to be a lot more opportunities in the Big 12 to have a chance to be a playoff contending team, maybe than you could at Arkansas. You know, I mean, just to be flat out, I mean, truthful. I mean, you look at what Arkansas is in the SEC. You look at who they're going to be facing against. You've got the Alabamas, the Georgias, you know, you've got Florida, you know, you've got, you know, Tennessee. It's going to be a challenge. And so there's a better opportunity, I think, in a lot of ways to go through at UCF. And I think he feels like this is a good fit for him. And so far, he's demonstrating the confidence, I think, that a lot of fans are really eager to see him kind of take to the field.
You were kind of talking about this, but I want to ask it again. What, and there's no wrong answers here. We're here with Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. What do you think the identity of this offense is going to be this fall with this style of quarterback?
Well, I do think as much as, you know, you've got KJ in there, I think the identity of this offense is going to be very much what Gus has done in the past. I think it's going to be a run offense. I think it's going to be a run-based offense. But I think what they'd like to do is they'd like to do a better job of integrating the passing element more. You know, I mean, they did some last year with John Rice Plumlee. You know, they obviously, when Darren Henshaw came in as the offensive coordinator and the pass and the quarterback's coach, they worked at pushing the ball down the field more. And I think that's something they'd like to do again this year with KJ. They feel like he's got a strong enough arm. They can take shots down the field. They can really, you know, get guys, you know, pushing the defense and creating, you know, some space. But they're going to run the football. Believe me, when you've got a guy like R.J. Harvey, who rushed for over 1,400 yards last year, you know, you've got a guy who, you know, like and K.J. Jefferson, like I mentioned, who can run the ball if you need to be. You've got a deep running backs room again. I mean, you're going to run the ball, but you're also going to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. You're also going to get the ball in the hands of guys like Kobe Hutz and Xavier Towns and, you know, Jared Baker. You know, you want to make sure that these guys get the football and they're able to take advantage of some things. And so, I mean, yes, you know, I think fans want to see the explosive offense, and they're going to get that, I think, running the football. But the bread and butter is making sure the ground game works, because I think that's really going to help open some things up for the passing game.
I know Gus Malzahn talked about his defense, and that's a big concern for him. What were your thoughts watching that defensive side of the ball in spring and at the spring game?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, this is a much more aggressive defense. You know, Ted Roof was brought in, you know, to lead the defense, for after last year. And Ted's a veteran, you know, defensive coordinator, known for building good rush defenses, run defenses. That's something that UCF struggled with last year. They were last in the Big 12 and stopping the run. So Ted's job really this spring has been stop the run. And I think they've done a good job with that. You know, I mean, they're obviously going to be a more attacking defense. They're going to blitz a lot more. I think where we've seen the biggest leap, you know, for me, is at the linebacker position. You know, they've got a lot more depth at linebacker. They went to the transfer portal. They brought in a lot of experienced guys. Ethan Barr, who comes from Vanderbilt, he was a captain at Vanderbilt. He's really kind of the standout when I look at that linebacking group. Zaire Alexander's another guy that they brought in from Idaho. They like his ability. You know, Deshaun Pace came from Cincinnati. He's a guy that is just a freak athlete. You can play pretty much any position on the defense. He talked about playing linebacker and safety and cornerback and, you know, defensive line. He's willing to go anywhere that they need him. So they've got depth at the linebacker position. I think that's going to be a huge help for them. And then their secondary has a lot of guys coming back from last year, but also it's going to be talked about how they really want to be more attacking. They're mixing up some of their coverages. They want to be able to blitz as well. So I think there's going to be more opportunities to try to get to the quarterback and be disruptive with this defensive unit.
How was the crowd Friday?
It was okay. You know, I mean, they didn't give us an attendance figure. You know, I wouldn't say it was half full, but I mean, again, it was a Friday night. I know fans don't like Friday night games, you know, but I will say this. There was a large group of recruits there. I think it was over 40-plus high school recruits on the field. This is what these events really are for. As much as, yes, the fans want to get out there and have an opportunity to see the teams, this is about getting recruits on the field, getting them to meet with coaches and players, getting them, you know, a chance to kind of see what the future is. And I think, you know, the job that Gus has done and his coaching staff have done recruiting over the last couple of years, that was a key element of what they wanted to do Friday night. So, and that's one of the reasons why they did it on a Friday night and not a Saturday, because they knew Saturday there was a long list of games, including Florida, where a lot of those recruits were going to be at Florida. So it's better to get them there the day before on a Friday night and try to be able to be the first one out there to showcase themselves.
What are the expectations for this football team coming out of spring practice then?
Well, I think the expectation, obviously, is that they stay healthy and they continue to do and grow and get better. You know, I think there's an opportunity to obviously have a winning season in the Big 12. I mean, the biggest question mark right now, Marcus, is going to be the transfer portal. The portal window opens up tomorrow. It goes for 15 days. You know, Gus talked a little bit about it at the end of his press conference that, you know, they just got to kind of hope that they can keep the players they need to keep around. And if they need to find some guys, they will. You know, they'll go out and they'll try to grab someone in the portal if they feel like they're a good fit for the program. But you just never know with the portal what's going to happen. You know, you're trying to make sure you don't lose somebody that maybe could have been a big contributor this upcoming season. So if that's the case and they don't lose anybody, I mean, I think they've got an opportunity to really kind of showcase themselves. They've got depth. They've got talent. They've really strengthened their coaching staff, I thought, you know, bringing in some new guys. They've done a really good job of the strength and conditioning program. They brought in a new guy, Anthony Kelsey, who has been outstanding. If you look at R.J. Harvey's body, he looks like a freak athlete right now, a guy who could probably rush for 2,000 yards. A lot of the guys have talked about how their bodies have been molded and changed. And the biggest factor was they need to learn how to finish games. That was the thing that hurt UCF last year was they just ran out of gas late in games. That's the biggest focus of the offseason is getting them to make sure that they can finish from the first quarter all the way to the final gun of the fourth. So that's going to be the challenge for UCF. And a lot of the guys feel like they're ready to compete, and they're going to challenge for a championship.
See, this is the thing. They tell you in sports talk radio, you should never go on the air and say, I don't know. But when you look at the Big 12, they're adding more teams and losing teams. I don't even know who the favorite is. I have no idea. I will use that term. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I always, you know, I mean, everyone wants to be excited and everything, but I mean, like I said, you just don't know. I mean, listen, UCF's going to face, you know, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado this season, okay? All those teams we saw a little bit last year. Utah, for instance, won the Pac-12, you know, two or three times over the last 4 years, you know? Arizona was good, but then their coach Jed Fish left to take the Washington job. So they've had some turnover there. You know, Colorado's got Deion Sanders, and you know, his team was exciting, but you know they only won four games last year, and you know they're trying to regroup. So you just never know what you're going to get when you're facing some of these teams. I think they got a really good schedule, UCF did, and I think it's going to help them out. It's nowhere near as difficult and challenging as it was last year on the road. Mm. But you know, again, you just don't know what you're going to get. And as long as they stay healthy and as long as the players are there and they feel like they've got the pieces they need, I think they have a good chance to do some things. So that's going to be the thing. But as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns going into the season with a lot of the conference realignment, a lot of teams moving around.
It's funny, last year at this time, Matt Mershell with the Orlando Sentinel, we were really hyping, hey, we're going to the Big 12. New car smell, Big 12. Has that just kind of gone away now? Yeah, we're here. We're good. This is it now.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that. I mean, I think going into spring, there was no like buzz like there was last year. And that's not a bad thing. You know? I mean, I think last year, obviously, everyone wanted to talk Big 12, Big 12, Big 12. Now it's like, okay, we were in the Big 12. We understand what the Big 12 is like. You know, we understand where we have to get better at. And I think that was always going to be the challenge for all the new teams going in, including UCF going into the Big 12, was, you know, making that leap from a Group of Five conference to a Power Five conference. And it was noticeable at times. I mean, I think we've talked about this many times where there were games where you, and the players have told us this, that they were out. I mean, that they saw the size difference. They saw the physicality. And so, you know, they had to learn to do that. Well, you can't do that on the fly in the middle of a season. You can't get bigger, stronger, faster in the middle of a season. So they knew they needed, the offseason was going to be about getting better, getting stronger, getting faster, and figuring out how to handle these type of things. And I think that's where they've made the biggest leap so far that I've seen, is that, you know, they understand, okay, we didn't live up to expectations last year, and we feel like we got a better chance of doing that this year. So this is going to be one of those years where it'll be interesting to see, did they take that step? And they'll probably have to take another step going into next year, because again, you're still trying to get yourself back into being a Power Five program.
We've not talked in a couple weeks. I want to end with this. It kind of was like a Friday news dump where it's like, oh yeah, by the way, the Big Ten, the SEC, they're going to get more of the revenue moving forward with the expanded playoff and the TV deal. What's your take on this, where the Big Ten and SEC put their foot down like that?
Well, I mean, I think we felt that was coming. You know, the Big Ten and the SEC realize, everyone realizes they're kind of the power conferences right now. You know, it's the power two now, and they're trying to figure out what's the best way that they can continue to make more money than everyone else, and kind of be able to have their own say when it comes to how legislation is going on in college athletics. And so, you know, they were going to always try to get the bigger piece of the pie. And you look why. I mean, yes, SEC has had, you know, how many times have they won the national championship over the last decade? The Big Ten has had, you know, two or three or four teams in the top five every year. And, you know, so they realized they're one of the engines kind of driving the playoffs. So they were going to get a bigger piece of the pie. And I don't think the Big 12 and the ACC, I don't think necessarily they were upset about that. They knew that was coming on. But I think the biggest challenge is to say, okay, that's fine right now, but if we start winning some games, if we start winning some championships, you know, then we want to make sure that changes a little bit. We want to make sure that maybe it swings a little bit back to our way. You know what I mean? That because of the fact that if the Big 12 would all of a sudden have, you know, two of the next three national champions, they want to make sure that they maybe get a little bigger piece of the pie the next time the contract comes up. So it didn't surprise me, and it wouldn't surprise me if we still kind of hear rumblings down the road that, you know, about those two conferences maybe thinking about, you know, wanting to do more, maybe even breaking away at some point. But we've heard all this discussion of super leagues and super conferences and whatever, but I don't think we're at that point. But we're definitely seeing where those two conferences are trying to separate themselves from everyone else.
Do you think, as a follow-up, do you think it's really hit their brains yet that we're going to the expanded playoff? Because I don't think it's hit yet until we actually see it.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think most fans right now, and it's funny, I've spoken to a lot of groups lately, and it's funny is, you know, you think everyone wants to talk about, you know, how the Gators are going to do, or how UCF's going to do, what Florida State's going to do for a follow-up. But most of the people I talk with, they want to talk about, oh my gosh, what's going on with NIL? What's going on with the transfer portal? What's going on with all these court cases? What's going on with, you know, FSU and ACC and ACC lawyers and lawsuits? And it's almost as if everyone's just kind of forgotten that, because we're so inundated with this off the field stuff, that there's actually football that's being played. So it's kind of crazy. And I've had more people ask me questions about that kind of stuff than I have about what I think is going to happen in the Big 12 next year, you know, when it comes to on the field.
Okay, bonus. I know you're a busy man. I appreciate coming on. So my former intern now covers the Arkansas Razorbacks, and she covered that really wild Coach Cal press conference, which felt like it was WrestleMania there last week. In your career, have you covered an introductory press conference where it was that, like, wild, where thousands of fans showed up?
Not with thousands of fans showed up. I was there when Johnny Manziel made his debut at the SEC Media Day.
Ooh.
And it had the feel of a WrestleMania, more the media, you know, because it was just I just remember it being just packed. Somewhere in my files, I have a photo of me, like, just this immense group of people, of reporters surrounding him, trying to ask him questions. And, that's the closest I would think that I've come to really kind of a rock star feel, you know, with somebody. You know, coaches get hired, and yes, they have fans and they get excited and things like that. But I think I really, you know, even when Gus got hired at UCF, I mean, it was an exciting group, but it was nowhere near like that kind of, what do you call it? You know, again, they were coming off of COVID too as well. So he didn't have that kind of, kind of feel. But you got to remember, this is Coach Cal. I mean, this is a guy who's won some national titles, and Arkansas gets him to come in to be their coach. And so there's a lot of buzz. They feel like this is a great opportunity. And it probably is going to be a great opportunity for him, especially with the financial backing that he's going to get from some of his some of those boosters.
That's what I loved also with the narrative, where they're like, yeah, he'll get that Walmart money. And yeah, NIL, and he'll put a team together. And I'm just like, okay, I'm trying to think. Okay, one year I was at Big Ten Media Days, and this is 2012 in Chicago. And when Urban Meyer walked in the room, it was like WrestleMania with the media, because he just, that bravado where I'm going to take over the Big Ten. And then what was the line he used? Oh, yeah, everyone else has to step up their game in the Big Ten if we're going to be a better conference. Yeah. I'll always remember
that. Yeah, I mean, I think Urban was one. I was at there. I was at Big Ten when Jim Harbaugh came in, and yeah, you know, that was a lot of excitement and buzz. And you know, basically, I remember a table we all sat at with him, and it was just a huge group of people. I mean, you get those. There's some special players every so often. Tim Tebow was that way. You know, whenever Tim Tebow would show up at an event, you know, Tim Tebow would draw a large crowd. You know, at Florida, so you had guys that just were special coaches, players that would just draw large crowds of people to see, and it just shows the fan, you know, how fans still to this day, no matter what's going on outside the sport, still are attracted to those kind of stories.
That's absolutely right. His name's Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. My man, thanks for your help, and have a great day.
No problem. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.